You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We've been in a series. We started last week. The title of the series is Us. And we are exploring this idea that we find throughout the Gospels that the best thing I can do, the best thing you can do to live out your purpose is to live us-minded, is to live for others, with others in mind. There is a ton of lessons in the New Testament, in the Old Testament too, but we're focusing on scriptures in the New Testament that encourage us to reach out and care for someone else, to go past me and go beyond I and care for others. So we're hoping that by the end of this series, we will have had a couple of aha moments, a couple of revelatory moments where you can realize a few things about yourself, especially our tendency or common tendency. I'm not picking on you, but we all have a tendency to be selfish. We all have a tendency to put walls around this and live for ourselves. And that is the stream that we have to fight against, because a life of significance must involve others. And I have all the married people here say amen. Can you say amen? That's right, right? So we want to help you grow stronger. And today I want to share a message titled, Are We Here Yet? A little cheesy, but you know, there it is. Are we here yet? I actually joke around with my kids. We drove last week. It just happened. We drove to our grandparents, and they live 2 hours away. And we were about three quarters of the way there. And then our eldest asked, are we there yet? And I like to play with him. I said something to the tune of, like, you can never get there, because once you're there, you're here. So there never arrives. Pray for my kids, guys. I don't want them to grow up confused, but I don't think I'm helping the situation. Once you're there, you're here, right? Like, yeah. Anyways. She's like, what? Anyways, I want to share with you today the importance, talk to you about the importance of being present. It's important to be present, of being here. Since cars and airplanes have been invented, and we've been enjoying this ability that you have to be so mobile, we don't really think about how transportation was so different before them. We hop on the highway driving our cars, and we fly on planes. Like, this is how people have moved around for hundreds of years. But if you really think about it, or if you read about it, you will find out that cars and airplanes have only been around for 100 years or so. And they have increased our capacity to be mobile, you know, tremendously. It's likely that your great-grandfather, for some of us here, was the first generation to drive a car. The very first generation to drive cars ever. And it's very likely that your parents' generation was the first generation to be able to afford to fly on a plane once or twice a year. We are, without a doubt, the most mobile and most transient generation to ever live on Earth. And in many aspects, it's very exciting. You know, you can get in your car, you drive for 35 minutes, and you're in New York. If you drive with me, I'll get you there fast, okay? And then once you're in New York, you can get on a plane and go anywhere. Anywhere in a matter of hours. Anywhere in America. Because why would you go anywhere else? America. I'm kidding. You could go anywhere in the world in hours. And this is exciting. And it's become normal. It's what's been normalized. That's how we move about the world. When somebody says, oh, I just flew to a different state or a different country, you're not concerned about the flight. You're not like, oh, how was it flying on a plane? You know, it's normal now. You ask about the destination. You ask about how their time was. Now, what our generation is facing, what this generation is facing for the very first time, is the normalization of not having to go anywhere to be somewhere else. That's what we're dealing with now. And that is the thing that has become a challenge, because you can be summoned. You can be drawn away. You can easily be taken somewhere else right here, right now. Just a short survey by the show of hands. How many of you have gotten either a text or a social media notification or an email since you've gotten here in this service that has taken your mind out of here? How many of you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See? Not picking on you. We might put some signal scrambling machines here. No, I'm not judging you. It's I get it. You know, it's part of our lives now. We're all in this. You know, I have a mindset too that I'm always thinking ahead. I'm always thinking about the big picture. I'm thinking about what is coming up. You know, and that has a tendency of occupying my mind as well. So I get it. But what happens to our soul when we are constantly minding our past or our future, but we're rarely living in our present? What happens with our sense of contentment when we're elsewhere mentally so often and we're seldom here? What happens to our relationships when we are here in body, but our minds are somewhere else? According to recent studies, you know, you get this sense of busyness. You get a sense of feeling that you are part of all this activity, that something is happening around you, but that's not really fulfilling. It leaves you empty because you're not truly connected. And that has to do with how we've been driven to connect with one another in the past few years. I don't know if you've noticed, for those of you who have lived enough, being connected nowadays means something completely different than what it used to mean 15 years ago and before. You know, before, being connected meant that you had friends, you were part of a social circle, and people had your back. You could call people, you had people who cared about you. Nowadays, being connected means that you are accessible, means that you are exposed. The idea of being connected now is no longer about depth in connection with one another. It's about breadth. It's how many you can connect to at the same time, not the depth of connection one-on-one. Being connected nowadays means I am here with you. I'm in this room with you, but I'm also in the office. I'm also in my coworker's messenger. I'm also in my friend's pocket. I'm also in my third cousin's network profile, who, mind you, I've only met him once, but he can send me memes. Nowadays, being connected means that we are spread thin. We are here, but we're also everywhere else. You know, it means that anyone can access you at any time. People who you never met can insert themselves into your feed and leave you comments. But what we need to realize is that that's not real connection. That's not the kind of connection that you were made for. That is exposure. That's accessibility. And the irony of it is that this type of connection leaves you empty. It actually leaves you with a sense of disconnection, the very opposite thing that all these portals promise to deliver. And the kind of connection that we were made for, the kind of connection that you were made for, is a soul connection, a connection that has depth, connection where you feel like you belong somewhere, where there is mutual devotion. See, we all want to belong to someone. And we all want to live in a context where others can belong to. We want to be connected. And I don't mean this in a romantic way. You know, things can easily go that route. I mean it as, you know, an appropriate, affectionate, brotherly, sisterly connection as a family. That's what we were made for appropriate belonging. And that's what I love about the church. What I love about the church is that our mission is true connection, real connection. You know, our mission is embedded in this kind of connection. And actually, our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, can only flourish in that context. We must, if we are to be connected to Him, we must follow His instruction in John 15. John 15, verse 4 says this: "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." See, a life with Jesus is a life of belonging. It's a life where you belong to Him and He belongs to you. It's a life where He's not just asking you to belong to Him so that He can control you. It's a mutual belonging kind of relationship. He belongs to you as well. It's a mutual relationship. And as we belong to Him, as we abide in Him, we are called to care for others. We are called to love our neighbor. We are called to care for one another, to pay attention to those around us. We are called to consider others and be considerate toward others. A little later in the same chapter, Jesus says, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, I realize that if you're new to this, or if you're not a church person, or if you're not a follower of Jesus, this idea of abiding in Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus and even loving one another might be a little bit strange. It might be a little bit odd, especially if you didn't grow up in this. But I bet that in the things that you desire right now, the things that you're yearning for, if you have a list, if you could list out the things that you are here for, whether you need breakthrough in a certain area of your life, in that list, there is something that contains a version of Jesus' words. There is a yearning in your heart for something like that. True connection. True belonging. Maybe it's someone who's been in your heart. Someone you want to connect with. Maybe it's you want your marriage to get better. Maybe you want your relationship to get healthier. Maybe you just want a marriage, period. And that's good. Maybe you want your relationship with your son or daughter to be healed, to get better. Maybe it's a coworker. There's some part of your desire right now to make sure that your connections are healthy, that your belonging to other people is happening. You know, some of you are looking for a best friend. You haven't had a friend in a while, and you feel that need to have a good friend in your life, to connect to a friend. That's because we all desire connection. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. See, He's not talking about exposure. This is not exposure. This is not having online profiles and having DMs coming at you and getting tagged on pictures and having a ton of emails in your inbox. This is not being able to be reached at any time. I'm talking about true connection. Someone you can laugh with. Someone you can cry with. Someone to hold. Someone you can fight with and fight for. A brother, a sister, a friend. We are made for that. We were made for true connections. We were made for true relationships. So how do we get that? How do we nurture that? I want to give you a few practical tips today in Scripture to help you be fully present. Because I feel like I sense in my heart that that is the main ingredient if you are to nurture good relationships. And in a room like this, I'm sure there are multiple reasons that can be listed here why you might feel scattered, why you might feel like you are everywhere and nowhere at the same time. So I want to focus on a couple things about being present that I believe may help you and may address some of the areas that you might be facing or will inevitably face in the near future as we grow more connected, right, as a society. First one is this: future commitments and obligations. Right? You may say with reason that you have to work. You have to worry about something that's coming up. There's something in your schedule, there's something at work, there's a deadline, something that you are about to face that you need to have your mind focused on. Maybe it's a business deal. Maybe it's a deadline for a presentation. Maybe it's a sales quota that you have to meet, and those things are weighing your mind and they take you away from wherever you are. You're at home and you're thinking about it. You're at work and you're thinking about it. You're somewhere else and you're thinking about it. You're on a date with your spouse or a friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're thinking about it. And your mind is elsewhere. And these are real things. These are real challenges. I'm not talking about things that don't matter. I'm talking about things that you have to do. You are actually committed to these things. How do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile being present and having a vision for the future? How do you reconcile being well prepared for whatever is coming up and being present where you are, being here? The first step, we'll draw a principle from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. This is what Jesus said, his words, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." Now listen to this, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now here's a question for you to consider. How much of your future responsibilities can you actually affect today? How much of the things that you might be worried about, that you might be carrying on your shoulders, can you actually affect today? What can you actually do about those things today? In other words, how much of tomorrow belongs to today? Can you prepare? Can you study? Can you rehearse? You know, the only burden you are meant to bear, according to Scripture, as we learn, is today. Today is what you have. We only have today. So what can you do today? When your thoughts of worry and anxiety about tomorrow come, it's important that you are able to assess this. It's important that you're able to make the separation, to be able to assess and define what can actually be done today, what kind of action you can take today. Listen to this passage in Luke 14, 28. "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" See, Jesus is talking about discipleship here. He's talking about counting the cost. But it's a life principle that we need to embrace and engage. See, this is not something that you do at the beginning of the year. Certainly, you can do that. This is not something that you can do at the beginning of the month only. Certainly you can do that. But this is something we all should do every single day. You got to count the cost. What is the cost of today? What is today going to cost you? Regarding your future responsibilities, the things you've committed, you have made commitments, the things that you have that you're obligated to fulfill, ask yourself this: what can I do today about that? What can I do today about what worries me in my tomorrow? And then you can have a plan of action. You can address what you can do today. Assign a portion of time in your day to work it, to address it. Separate a time where you can work on that project. Not the whole day. Don't kill your whole day, you know, with the anxieties of tomorrow. But apply a portion of time. Work on the project, prepare for the presentation, read, study, research, rehearse, do whatever you need to do for that portion of time, follow your action plan, and then release the anxiety. There is a time for you to make a plan. That's you taking your part of that worry, your part of that responsibility, but then there's a part of it that if you embrace, it'll never go away. It's the anxiety about tomorrow in the things that you can't control. If you can do something about it today, then engage it. If you can't do it, that's what you need to release to God. It's of no real use to worry about something you can do nothing about. So it's important for you to practice this and release. This is why 1 Peter chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." See, this is God saying, I want your anxiety. I want your worries. I want the things that you are carrying. I want you to put it on me. Cast on me your anxieties, the things that you can't control. I want to be there for you. God wants to be that person. God wants to be your friend. God wants to be counted on. He wants to be someone you can rely on. You should rest on this, that God knows what you need. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows what you need. And he's the one who ultimately gives you the capacity and the ability and the intelligence and the wisdom to engage in what you're engaging in, to engage in what you were called to do. So trust him and treat him as your source of faith and source of confidence. Don't allow your tomorrow to disturb your today, but let him hold the outcome. This is really important. You know, sometimes we can get anxious. We can worry about something because we are trying to control the outcome. That happens to me all the time. We want to make sure that the outcome will happen according to what we desire. But guess what? We don't control the future. What we can do is be faithful in what God has given us. What we can do is be faithful with the talents, the opportunities, and the time that he has given us for today. You be faithful with what you can act on today. You release your worries to him, and you release to him the outcome. You say, God, I trust you. I trust you that you will make this happen. I trust you that you are giving me the capacity and the wisdom to address this situation, to address this relationship, to address this burden, to address these things that I'm dealing with right now, and I trust you with the outcome. That's how you partner with God. That's how you bring him into your life, and you release those things to him. It's important to do that, because unless you do that, you will always be absent-minded, and you're going to try to connect to people in your life, but you'll be thinking about something else because you're carrying a burden you're not meant to carry. And God is saying, cast it on me. Let me have that burden. And you go love one another. Second thing for you to be present. It might be that you want to escape. The second reason why you might be absent-minded is that you might want to do that. You might want to take your mind elsewhere. You want to take your mind somewhere else because here is not pleasant right now. Here is just not that good. So I want my mind to go somewhere else. You might want to escape. Sometimes because you're facing a tough situation. Sometimes because you want the excitement. Sometimes because you want to have a sense of progress, of movement. You want some activity. You want to be somewhere else mentally because you want things to change. But if you're going to build the kind of life you desire, you can't do it by being absent-minded. You can't be with your mind somewhere else and build the life that God has called you to build here. You will not develop meaningful relationships by spreading yourself thin and responding to every ping, responding to every alert that comes at you. Whatever life you're working toward, whatever dream God placed in your heart, whatever vision God has given you, it will require you. You are needed. Your presence is needed there. And that means something. It means that something in you needs to value being fully present. Here's another thing to keep in mind. Is that escaping mentally, going somewhere else with your mind, it just removes you and it takes you somewhere else. And while it may seem attractive because maybe you're overwhelmed or maybe, you know, life is a little bit blah, right? You're emotionally low and it might be attractive for you to just escape mentally. And I know that there's a time for that. You know, there's a time for a vacation. There's a time to go away. There's a time for you to retreat your mind. But if you're trying to escape something, when you come back, whatever you're escaping, guess where they will be? Those things will be right there waiting for you when you get back. Nothing will change. So it's not really the solution. It's just that, an escape. A better plan is to follow Jesus' example. And it's not usually obvious. It's not obvious because we don't think of relationships in the context of what the things that worry us. But there's something that happens when you live in true connection. Something happens to your soul. Something happens to your mind. Something happens to your sense of faith. Something happens to your outlook when you are inserted and you're truly connected in a part of a community and you are exercising that commandment of loving one another. And I believe that that's a better plan. The better plan is to be fully present, to be here. You know, I think that it sounds counterintuitive, but when you feel like escaping mentally, most of the time it's because you're not close enough. So you got to get close. You know, and I believe that to follow Jesus' commitment to love one another is the best way to be present. That's how you build the kind of life you will not want to escape from. So the answer is really not to be absent-minded. The answer is to come close. And this is my second point. You know, for a moment, we might want to feel like we want to go somewhere else. But when you feel like that, it's probably because you're not close enough. Now, think about this for a moment right now. Just think about someone you have bonded with, whether present or past. It could be way back, it could be recently, someone you truly bonded with, right? Now, what are some of the things that sustain that bond you share with that person? Would you say mercy? Yeah? Would you say compassion is part of that? How about this, a big one? How about empathy? Would you say that empathy is part of that bond? Can you remember a time of forgiveness played a part? Maybe you didn't see each other eye to eye on something and then you had to reconcile, and then forgiveness created an even stronger bond. How about grace? Huh? Can you be a good parent without giving grace to your kids at all? You know, grace is part of that, right? Now think about all these things. Grace, mercy, compassion, empathy. You know, all of these things nurture the bond of true connection. Like if you're to nurture true connection, you're going to need those things. You're going to need compassion. You're going to need mercy. You're going to need a lot of forgiveness. You're going to need empathy. You're going to need to give grace. Right? Now, all of these things are byproducts of love. And you can't really activate those things. You can't really engage those things unless you're close. You need proximity. You need proximity to love one another well. It is really hard to love from a distance. Proximity is what allows you to share in these things. You got to be close to have empathy. You know, it's easy for us to criticize someone we don't know. You know, it's easy for us to look at a situation with somebody over there and just judge them like that. But if we get to know them, if we get close, if we see their reasoning, you go like, man, if I were in your situation, I would do the same thing. You know, everything you've been through, everything you've done, mistakes you've made, regrets you carry, I believe that if any one of us were in your situation, we would probably make the same decision you made. But nobody can find that out unless there's proximity. Proximity is what allows you to connect, truly connect, and bring people together so that love can grow. So here's my encouragement today. When it comes to your relationships, especially those who are close to you at home, when it comes to your relationship with your kids, relationship with your good friend that you have, relationship with your husband, your wife, relationship with maybe it's a coworker that you work really close with and you want to protect that relationship, protect proximity. At home, with your family, with those you love, protect proximity. See, you were made for true connection, not just exposure, not just access. So make the investment. Value your time and value your time together. You know, when you're home, don't be scattered. Don't be with your mind somewhere else. Don't spread yourself thin between your screens and your devices. You know, you can be in a room and be somewhere else. And that is the challenge of our age. It's something I fight with. Just this past week, my daughters wanted to play domino with me, and I was doing some work on my phone, and then my daughter says, "Dad, how about you put your phone away?" I was like, "You know what? 8-year-old, you're right. You're right. I shall humble myself under God's mighty hand and trust that he's going to take care of this issue. And I'm going to play dominoes with my daughters." She was right. And you might be in the same situation, you know. Maybe your spouse is saying, "We need to spend more time together." And say, "But honey, we were together all day yesterday." But you know you weren't. You were on your phone, you were on your computer, you were doing work, you were somewhere else with your mind. And that's the challenge that we deal with today. We have all these portals, all these things that take us elsewhere. And in many ways, it can be positive, but they do not bring you true connection, the kind of connection that you were made for. When Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you," when he said, "Love one another," he wasn't talking about sending a text once every 30 days to say, "Hey, I've been thinking about you. It's not bad. But how about you pick up the phone and say, 'Hey, let's meet up. I miss you. Hey, let's get together. Hey, how are you doing?'" You know, make it a point to have deep, meaningful connection with those who are around you, who you have personal contact with each day. Those times you have a friend, you know, or you have a spouse and a family member, those times that you share together with your friend, your family's member, your spouse, protect those times. No, protect those times. Cherish those times. Be a good friend. That's something else, you know. Just be a good friend, man. We need good friends in the world today. It's so easy to just cancel on your friend and say, "I can't make it 5 minutes before the appointment because, you know, you got something better to do." Now, I love sometimes I watch Seinfeld. I don't know if you guys watch old shows, but I guess Seinfeld classifies as an old show now. But I love that they built a whole episode now that they couldn't do anymore. But back then, they built a whole episode on them missing each other. You know, they had to go to the payphone and leave a message in the answering machine. But they're like, "We'll meet at the movie theater at 8. You couldn't cancel last minute, right? And your word was your bond. And we're missing that. We're missing this value that we used to have for true connections. And I just want to engage you with practical encouragement today to value those connections, because that's what you might be missing. Maybe you think you're missing something else. And I promise you, if you value those connections, if you feel like you're truly connected to your husband and your wife, your friend, your family member, your dad, your mom, your cousin, your sister, your brother, if you have that connection and that bond, there's a kind of satisfaction in your soul and your spirit that nothing can replace that. Nothing. This is what Scripture says in Romans 12:10. This is my last scripture for today. Love one another with brotherly affection. It's that simple. And that's what we are about. You know, that's what we are about as a community. That's why we encourage you so much and we annoy you to get into a summer group. Get into a connect group. It's important for you. We're not trying to pack rooms for us. It's for you. You know, walk across the room. Start a conversation. "But JD, it's so awkward to start new conversations." I know. I meet you every week. And it's not on you, you know. I know. I get the sense, you know. We get to meet people every single week here. And some of you I've met a while ago. Some of you I've met a few weeks ago. And that first interaction, sometimes it was awkward, you know. But you got to fight through the awkwardness, man. You just got to do it. You know, I fight through it because I know it matters. You know, I don't do it because I have to, because I'm the pastor and I have to. I could easily get off stage right here to my car and go. I could do that. I don't. Because I want you to feel welcome. I want you to know that you belong into a family of God. I want you to know that God has a purpose for your life. That this is a place you can belong. That this is the family of God. And that you are welcomed. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. Because you're a child of God. Now do the same. Walk across the room. Start conversations at home, at work, and here. You know. What if you knew? What if you knew that on the other side of that conversation, on the other side of that awkward moment, which is temporary, there would be your next best friend. There would be someone who would walk seasons of life with you that you needed somebody to be with you at that moment. What if, who knows, the one you're looking for could be there, you know? I mean, I'm not making any promises. This is not prophetic. But, hey, you go to a connect group. You fight through the awkwardness at first. And then you say, hey. Hey. You know, it could happen. What if you knew that on the other side of that conversation, you could find that true connection? Maybe not at first, but after a season. After a few interactions, after you fight through the awkwardness. See, God has given you a family right here. We are the family of God. We love you guys, and that's what we want to see. We want to see us all get together and really, really love one another. So how about we suck it up and be awkward together, huh? Yeah. For a season. Huh? That could be a t-shirt, huh? How about we take the leap and join a summer group? Join a team. And participate. Let's build God's kingdom together. You know, let's follow Jesus' example and just live our lives to love one another well, to do that well, to love one another and to abide in Him. I believe that if you do that, if you choose to be present, if you silence the distractions, if you let go of tomorrow's anxiety and you give it to God and you allow Him to handle the outcome and you do what you got to do today, but still value your connections, value your relationships, value the people who are closest to you. If you protect proximity and you engage people in genuine love, I believe you will never again be alone. You will never again say that you feel disconnected or that you don't belong. You will belong and you have the experience of the kind of true connection God has designed you to have. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.